Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
Well, another bang on show planned for you guys today. Coming your way in just a second. We get into everything under the sun and then plus some. First, I'll tell you about Tommy John. Speaking of the sun, man, it's getting hot out there. You want to take measures, cool cotton underwear for men and for women. It's like having your own body AC. That's right. Nothing better. I'm wearing mine right now. I'm wearing the t-shirt. Yes, I'm wearing the t-shirt right now. I'm wearing the underwear right now. Made from premium natural Pima cotton for enhanced airflow, evaporates the sweat super fast. Lounge pants, lazy day joggers, soft zoom ready tees and polos. This stuff is the best. Everyone here wears it. Once you upgrade to Tommy John, you don't go back. You don't go to whatever you're wearing before. It's breathable. It's the designs are awesome. And again, I just wear mine every night. I row, I get all frothy, and then I just walk around, it air dries. Best pair you'll ever wear. It's free guarantee. Right, Gary?
That's right. For a limited time, go to TommyJohn.com/Adam. You get 20% off site-wide. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off site-wide. TommyJohn.com/Adam. See site for details.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice. Big on mandate. Get it on. Welcome to the best hour or so in the universe. It's Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Mark Garagus in his office downtown. So much to cover, Mark. Good day.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very good day to be doing this. In fact, if we weren't doing this normally, we would be doing this as breaking news because, you know, we've covered Epstein in depth on this. And today is, as we're doing this, Miss Maxwell, his companion, I think is what they're calling her, although the prosecutor is probably calling her his pimptress, was arrested and detained in New Hampshire and is scheduled for a bail hearing, or what's called a detention hearing, later today, charged with, by the way, procuring young girls for him in 1994 to 1997, so quite a long time ago. How old were you in 1994, Adam? Do you know?
Well, I was, I turned 30 in 1994.
Okay, and then charged with lying about what she was doing in 94 and 97 in 2016. And for those who are interested, I'm going to give you kind of a connecting some dots for the all of the conspiracy theorists. It's interesting. The person who announced it was Audrey Strauss, who's now the acting U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York. And you'll remember we talked about an episode or two ago that Bill Barr, who is the attorney general, had gone to New York, I forget which day, Gary will tell me, in order to talk to Jeff Berman, who was then the U.S. attorney. Ms. Strauss was at that time the second in charge. Bill Barr was trying to get him to go take over either the SEC or as acting head of the civil department of the Department of Justice. Berman said no, and they had a candidate, a gentleman who was from the SEC, who was going to go over to be appointed. And now it's interesting because there was a lot of speculation as to why they didn't want Berman there. And Berman kind of engaged in some playing what some would call chicken with Mr. Barr, Attorney General Barr, if you want to believe that's what happened by the reporting. Ms. Strauss became the acting U.S. attorney, who was, his, as I said, the second in command. And here you've got Epstein's confidant slash associate indicted today, which was obvious, I think, to anyone that was one of the sensitive investigations that was there in the Southern District. And some people have already speculated, I've seen, you know, Bill Barr, who's the attorney general, his father was the headmaster at a school and gave Jeffrey Epstein one of his first jobs. I don't know if you knew that, but as a teacher at a school on the Upper East Side.
I heard he was
quite a lot of intrigue.
Yeah. So he was a math guy, I guess, and then started tutoring and doing some private stuff. And then one of his clients said, you should take your math brain and take it to Wall Street instead of the academy. So I think that was the story. Now, what might she know? Who might she speak about that are recognizable names? Who should be nervous right now?
There's going to be people who are going to say, and by the way, why should somebody be nervous? Because generally in the federal system, they may have arrested her today. I don't think that that's their ultimate target, although it is a target, obviously, because they indicted her. But she at some point, depending on what happens, may decide to cooperate. If she decides to cooperate, she, you know, you kind of go up the food chain. Who would be the three obvious targets? Would be Bill Clinton, President Trump, and Prince Andrew. Those would be the, based on the speculation. It's also been speculated that there are grand jury subpoenas that have been out there, and that the grand jury subpoenas have focused like a laser on the two pilots who worked for Epstein, who were ferrying people down on what has been affectionately called the Lolita Express, which is his private jet to his private island. And they looked for the flight logs, for the manifests and things of that nature, if you believe what's been reported.
Wow. So this is going to be a very interesting number of days and weeks. Well, when do you think this stuff might start trickling out?
So I was just talking with somebody who will remain nameless, and we were saying, you know, you can make a lot of criticisms of the Trump administration, but one of the most fascinating ones is how they seemingly always screw up what they could do correctly, like the DACA decision. The DACA decision, they could have done correctly for them to get what they wanted to achieve, but they basically didn't comply with the Administrative Procedures Act. They could have done that, but they didn't. This case, rather than go down there and kind of jettison Jeff Berman, if the intent was that they wanted to stop this in its tracks, because they understood that if she starts to cooperate and she's talking about, and they're talking about and focusing on 1994 to 1997, that puts a lot of people in the crosshairs, so to speak. And presumably that's when Trump has admitted and is on tape saying things very complimentary after that about Epstein. Up until 2000, 2001, he was talking about that. Also puts Clinton, you know, at least there's been speculation that Clinton was not involved with the young woman, but Clinton was involved somehow with her, has been some of the speculation. So there's all kinds of things here. But the thing that's interesting to me is, if you had just let this play out until November, when the election comes, there were other ways to handle this, because I think we've talked about before, the federal criminal justice system, as one U.S. attorney once told me, we operate at a glacial pace.
What about Jimmy Carter? Should he be worried?
I think the one former president, actually, I'll throw W in there, the two that should not be worried, and Barack, I guess, as well. So it's kind of, you know, we've kind of got a book in here. Once again, Trump imitating Clinton with Whitewater, a.k.a. Russian collusion. Now you've got this kind of 94 to 97, guess who was president back then, and now lying in 2016 or perjury in 2016. The whole thing is just fascinating when you connect all the dots, whether you think it's a conspiracy theory or not. But it certainly bears some kind of analysis. That's why I wanted to throw it out to you. Why would you go down and all of a sudden try to jettison the U.S. attorney in the Southern District? And then, Gary, what date was that? It was a Friday. So it was less than 3 weeks ago, I think. So it certainly seems like, if you're connecting dots, that there's a relationship there.
Well, you're bringing up the glacial pace and the election coming up. If Trump was worried that he was going to be outed by this woman in her testimony or her conversations, why would he have sent Barr down there? I mean, why would he have done it? Why would he have acted now? Or does he have control over that?
Because the conspiracy theorists would posit that they knew they were going to indict Miss Maxwell. How did they know they were going to indict Miss Maxwell? Because it's such a high profile case that they would have had to notify Maine Justice. Maine Justice is where Barr sits, the seat of power for the Department of Justice. Once they said we're ready to present to the grand jury or we're ready to file this case, and they would get checked the boxes. Remember that when Epstein died, Barr specifically was very involved in the investigation and was personally appalled by the fact that Epstein died under his watch while in custody in the MCC. I mean, there's quite a bit here to unpack.
June 19th, Gary says, to the answer to your date inquiry. I'm confused. I feel like there's some. I feel like everyone either flew on Epstein's flight or there's a picture of them in blackface. I've taken America and I've carved it into two groups. Either there's an old picture of you with blackface or you're on that manifesto. Or manifest, I should say.
On the manifest. You know, you could probably, there's probably a 10-minute routine you could do on that, I'm sure.
I'm writing it down.
That's what America's devolved to. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to give a third category, bootleg porn tape, you know, Kardashian style floating around the internet somewhere.
Do you remember when that used to be something? That's no longer a thing. And by the way,
that's not even a strike anymore.
No, are you kidding? And what about Prince Andrew? I mean, do you think Prince Andrew had some kind of advance notice that this was coming down the pike? That's why he kind of stepped back from his royal duties. I mean, there's quite a bit here that you could say. What is the timing of this is amazing. The fact that it's that we're here in the home stretch before the election is amazing. The fact that that Prince Andrew steps down at the time, the fact that Jeffrey Berman is basically, they tried to kick him upstairs and he says, no, not on my watch, stands him down, and Ms. Strauss becomes the acting head of the SDNY. For us legal geeks, this is quite a conspiratorial time.
Well, Prince Andrew, as I recall during the interview, announced he had a condition where he couldn't sweat. Do you remember that?
Right.
Which I think, look, I'm not an attorney, but I think he missed an opening, which is he's saying, I couldn't engage in this behavior because I have a condition that makes it impossible for me to sweat. And the woman who was interviewing him thought that was a little dubious. But my argument would have been, I am being interviewed about being a pedophile. Don't you think I would be sweating now? Like, if there's ever a time to sweat, there's a light in your face and a chick with a clipboard. She's got a puss on and she's accusing you of being a pedophile. Don't you think now is sweating time? I have a question for you. I was watching a press conference from the St. Louis circuit attorney, Kimberly Gardner, who was talking about bringing charges against that couple who stood on their porch with the AR-15 and the pistol. I'm going to play it for you, then you tell me if you think there's something there. Doesn't seem like there's anything there, but let's play it, Gary.
Hello, I'm Kimberly Gardner, circuit attorney for the city of St. Louis, and I am disturbed by the events that occurred over this weekend where there were peaceful protesters who were met with guns and a violent assault. We must protect the rights to peacefully protest, and any attempts to chill it through intimidation or use of force will not be tolerated. Since learning of these events over this weekend, I've worked with the public and the police to investigate these tragic events. Make no mistake, the circuit attorney's office will not tolerate the use of force or intimidation to affect the rights of individuals to peacefully protest and to protect their First Amendment right. And I will use every extent of Missouri law to hold individuals accountable.
Yeah, I'm not an attorney, but and I saw the footage. I don't know if I would typify that as a violent assault. Maybe there's a part of the film I missed.
Maybe there's a probable cause is they weren't wearing masks. I don't know. Right. Apparently, you know, I don't understand this because there wasn't, I mean, they're screaming. They're obviously, you take a look at the two people. They're obviously in a state of high anxiety or alarm. They're standing on their property. Most states, I haven't looked at a Missouri statute, but I can tell you, and I've had the case where I had a woman in Pomona 20 years ago who was standing on her property with a gun as people were coming on, and she fired into the ground and it ricocheted up and killed a guy. But here, there was no shots fired. Here, most states have some form of the castle doctrine. The castle doctrine is based on common law that your home is your castle and you can stand and defend it. And so I don't know what I'm kind of at a loss as to what the charge would be other than not wearing a mask while you're going out in public.
I know. I like that she typifies it as a violent assault, except for nothing happened.
I don't know. Nothing happened, number one. Number two, they didn't fire. I mean, I suppose if you fired, you could say firing in a, you know, there's usually some municipal ordinance for firing your gun in the air or a state ordinance for a discharging a weapon. I don't know that there's a violation that I can think of. I don't know what I saw Tucker's head was exploding about this the other night. I watched him. I understand that people did. I just couldn't figure out, you know, it's tough when you see a video because you don't know what happened before. You don't know what happened after. But the portion of the video that I saw did not appear to me to be a crime. I don't know what the crime was. If you pointed the gun at somebody, that can be a crime. But if you're on your property and you have a perception in your mind that somebody is going to do you harm, then that acts as a defense. So I suppose they could file an assault and then the person could try to raise it as a defense if they thought that people were going to come onto their property and do them harm.
Well, you've been watching, you know, stores and buildings burn in your city for 3 weeks. You know, the cops are persona non grata. And now a group breaks down a gate and is heading toward your house. You want to show up, want to come out front with a rolled up newspaper and tell them to get, or what exactly? That's an unwinnable case. I mean, you could.
I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm with you. I didn't see. Maybe you saw it. I didn't watch closely enough because I was too busy watching that meme about. That substituted the faces of Barr and Trump for the white couple. But I didn't see the breaking down of the gate. The breaking down of the gate as they're coming in, that was precisely, you know, in the case that I had in Pomona, the people were advancing on the house. They had not actually got there yet, but, you know, it was what looked to be obvious gang members. My woman fired the weapon into the ground, ricocheted, hit the guy between the eyes. When they rolled him over, he was behind his back. He had some kind of a weapon, a billy or something like that. And then we did a background investigation, found out the guy had thrown a cinder block through a neighbor's window the week before. So they ended up giving, even though they started off as a murder case, it ended up as an involuntary manslaughter. Here, you didn't have a shot fired. So I don't know what you'd be vindicating. If you've torn down the property, the only crime would be when you tear down the gate, that's a destruction of property, and that would be a crime.
Yeah, she didn't seem to be interested in that facet, that nuance of the law. But listen, we got a bunch of dingbats who are in position of power, like the mayor of Oakland, who was moving ahead with the FBI and the hate crimes because the black fella hung some hoops with some PVC pipe through them on a tree so they could work out in the park. And she then gave a press conference explaining that it doesn't matter if those hoops were hung to exercise or not. She's still working in concert with the FBI, moving forward under the presumption it's a hate crime. Thank you for wasting taxpayer money, dingbat. Get back to your fucking job. And you, get back to your fucking job, too. Go bust a criminal. Jesus Christ. These dingbats are scaring me, Mark. This is scary to me.
Well, one of the interesting things, I don't know why they keep saying defund the police. What they should defund is the prosecutor's office and then do a budget. You know, we've talked for years on this show about the fact that the part of the problem with the criminal justice system is the unlimited budget of prosecutors.
Yes.
Prosecutors, if they had a budget, and you're going to see what's unfolding now in California and across the country is as you turn on and turn off the economy and think that somehow you can do this and just print money out of it, you're going to find that, and it's already, I give the example of Palm Springs, they're already got some $86 million hole in their deficit because they've got no tourist revenue because the hotels were all shut down, even though basically when people are down there, they're sweating it out and outside, and you don't want to get anywhere near somebody 6 feet as it's 110 degrees. But we're going to have one size fits all types of orders. But as these budgets get blown, as holes get blown through them, you're going to see that people are going to start taking a look at, or they're going to have to, because they're going to have to say, how do we just give unlimited resources to police, prosecutors, and everything else when we can't even pay for education? We can't even pay for basic services. You can't just have this unlimited budget. And part of what I predict you will see is that these people who have been running these municipalities or governments based on this idea that money was unlimited are going to have a rude awakening.
I want to talk on a more personal note, because I think I'm going to need you to send a threatening letter to the Building and Safety Department in the city of La Cañada, California, because
are they hassling you?
They're so goddamn inept. First off, the Building and Safety Department, if you have to deal with them in any municipality, and I've dealt with them in Van Nuys and L.A., Glendale, it is government at its worst. It's a bunch of idiots who get to decide what you get to do on your own property with your own money. And you have to pay them for the permission to work on your own property. And they're so slow. They're so inept. They're so drunk with power. And they can just show up and go, nah, I don't want you to do. You have to do that. And then they just leave. And we're an earthquake country, so obviously everything is way over the top. Look, I know how to build. I have an engineering background. The stuff they ask for is absolutely insane. It's 100 times overkill on everything in the safety department. They build these structures like Hitler's fucking bunker. But they also have a horrible attitude. And I lived in a house that was on a sort of depression, and the water would gather up and it didn't drain properly, and it created a big lake, and it would flow into the backyard, and cars would drive through it, and you know, hydroplane, and it was a mess. And it was something that was broken for a long period of time. And I said to the city, hey, can you fix this? And they said, no, that's on your property, even though it was on the curb, but okay, it's my property. So I hired a drainage engineer. Well, first things first, I figured out what fixed it.
Hired a drainage engineer?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. What happened was, is I figured out it was a grate. It was like a sewer grate. It was 2 foot by 2 okay. foot, flat on the ground. It would get filled with these sticky leaves from oak trees, and it would pile up and it wouldn't drain. The water would go over it and it would flood the backyard. I sold the house and the person said, hey, we need to handle this problem. I said, I know how the problem is handled, because if I go there and I take this drain, this grill, it looked like a 2 foot by 2 foot thick iron barbecue grill, and I slid it 6 inches off the hole, all the water would just go down the hole. It would drain perfectly. I said, I did it. And all I got to do is cut 6 inches off the drain and put it right back where the grill and put it right back where it is. It'll drain perfectly. They said the new homeowner said, of course, that's not good enough because everyone's a fucking idiot and an asshole. Everyone's an asshole now. So I said, it works. Believe me, it works. I did it. I was here. No, not good enough. You got to get an engineer. You got to get a certified drainage engineer. I said, fine. The guy came over, charged me $1,200. The other neighbor's a complete pussy and an asshole, too. Everyone's just a puss and an asshole now. So he draws up the plan. He says, here's what you do. You build a cement covering over the top. You remove the drain altogether. That's going to work. I said, I know it'll work because if I pull the drain back 6 inches, it worked. You're talking about getting rid of it altogether. That's 2 foot by 2 foot. We'll build a top over it like it's a storm drain on the side of the curb on the street. I said, that'll work. Okay. Then at my expense, I got my guys over there. We got rid of the drain. We poured the thing in place. We finished it off nicely. And the city then got involved. What are you doing? I said, I'm fixing the problem that you guys won't fix and never did and couldn't. They said, well, we didn't permit that. I said, I got an engineer. He's a certified engineer. He told me how to fix the problem. I fixed it. You're welcome. They said, no, we need a permit. I said, you know what? Why don't we act like human beings for a second? Why don't we wait till it rains next? And when it rains next, we'll see how it works. And if it works, then that's win-win, and I paid for all of it. How about that?
Let bygones be bygones, right?
And
the expression goes,
the person that bought the house said, well, we got to put $5,000 in escrow because I got to get the completion, the certificate of completion from the city. Otherwise, I don't want this on me. I said, fine, put $5,000 in escrow. I'll prove to the city it works. I'll get the completion certificate. We can get on with our fucking lives. Because everyone at that fucking building and safety place, they act like you live to 7,000 years old. They act like you're a fucking sea turtle or something. Like, hey, bitch, I'm going to die at 72. I got to fucking make some hay while the sun is shining, you idiots. And by the way, I'm not a loser. I'm not a loser like you guys. I like to do things. I know you guys like to sit around and push paper all the time, but I actually have a life and I'd like to live it. How about that, you fucking stumps? So then... It works. It works like it rains. It rains harder than it's rained in 10 years. And I go over there
it's not 100 year rain.
I fucking film it. I film it on my phone. It works. It works even better than I'd anticipated. It's perfect. Good. I'll take your apology in the form of a completion certificate so I can get my $5,000 out of escrow. This has been 2 years, by the way. I say, then. The homeowner gets slapped with a notice that work is illegal in front of your home. We need it removed. We need it removed. I then send in a sternly worded email that basically starts with, hey, Tards, do you want me to go over there and jack out the thing? I will fucking jack it out. I'll go jack it out and then you'll have a fucking lake. Is that what you want? Because it works perfectly. So you want me to go over there with a fucking jackhammer and take out the fucking mess that works and they'll just leave it open and you guys can have a fucking lake. Good luck. Is that what you want? And then I said, can we get better?
Where was this?
Building and safety, Foothill, La Cañada. I said,
wow.
Can we get better at our jobs? Can we do better? This is insane. This has gone on for 2 years. I don't know what's going on. So then I send him this email. I get no response, still no response. Then 6 months goes by and I say to the realtor, I got $5,000 sitting in escrow. Can I get a fucking completion certificate from the fucking city so I can get my goddamn money out? And they're like, no, the guy hasn't responded. Nobody's responding. And then the guy they're talking to, he's taken an indefinite leave of absence. So we got nothing. And I'm like, what the fuck? By the way, all you people who want bigger government, you want more of this? This is what you want more of because this is how it ends up. It ends up this way every time. This is what you want more of.
If Paulette was listening to this, she would die, because she's been, you know, my in-laws are at the house and she's trying to do something with the, what she calls the casita. I said, she keeps calling it casita. I keep saying, you mean the guest house? And she goes, yeah, it's a casita. So I've got to apparently call it the casita. So she's been trying to get my brother Mike to get a permit. And my brother Mike has not gone on one of your rants, but keeps trying to tell her it's building in safety. Don't you understand? This is not, it doesn't happen like that. There's not a switch that you just file it and they do it.
Oh my God. I just talked to an engineer who was dealing with the city of Glendale. And by the way, they're all equally bad. I mean, they're all wild. Van Nuys is a fucking total shit show. It's all, they're all fucking horrible.
That's
they're
because
all horrible.
It's the city of LA.
Right. But I said to him, hey, I want to move the stairs from this spot to that spot. Can we change it on the plans? And he said, you can't deal with Glendale now. He said, why don't you just build the stairs where they wanted them? And then later on, you could just tear them down and move them. Or you could fucking talk to somebody who could help facilitate this. It's like, nah, it's not even worth it. Like they literally have broken the people they serve. They have broken the people they serve.
And by the way, you can't run a private business this way. That's why one of the great kind of unintended consequences of driving this economy into the ground is there's not going to be enough money to just keep paying a litany of assholes who are feeding at the public trough. It's just not going to happen. Can't do it.
Look, I say it all the time. The on-ramp that's 100 yards behind me that I use to get home every day is a pile of dirt and PVC pipe and hobo shit and cardboard that they've been pushing around for 7 years. They built the entire Disney Pixar complex 2 blocks from me. In the same time, the city's been pushing dirt around what would be a size of 2 medium-sized backyards. They literally do nothing. They just push fucking dirt around. The whole Disney campus, I've been on it, immaculate, hardscape, landscape, buildings, everything. It's all been built in the same period of time. They've been pushing dirt in a circle. Of course the private sector works better. It's insane. And don't get me started on the school system. So I need you to write a threatening letter to those guys going, I'm suing you. I want my fucking $5,000 out of escrow. You have to, first off, this whole like, oh, you know what? We're not communicating with the public anymore. Don't fucking send out letters, threatening letters saying we're going to tear this thing out and then stop communicating. Jesus,
you know,
goddamn
maybe you've
Christ.
Got some, maybe there's, we should probably, we'll talk off the air. Send me over the letter. I know who the, I know exactly who to address this.
Yeah, I'll tell you the sad part. The sad part is they create a system where then you talk to the realtor and the realtor's like, well, I think I may know a council person who I can talk to. Why do we need to talk to a council person? Why can't the fucking inept idiots behind the fucking desk do their fucking job? I got to get the fucking district selectman to come down and champion my cause, or you guys can do your fucking jobs. How about that? How about that novelty item? How about a novel notion of just you guys be normal, interact, facilitate? I'm a taxpayer. I solved a problem. May we move forward with our lives. Jesus Christ. They're such inept, lazy sacks of shit. It's so sad. It's so, you people, you want to talk, you know, everyone's talking about interactions with the cops. Go interact with building and safety and tell me if you don't feel like you've been jobbed. Jesus Christ. I'm profiled as a taxpayer. I went down to the Glendale building and safety. I told them I bought the 26-year-old chick behind the permit counter. Scariest words ever in a democracy, by the way. She's behind. I bought a new place in La Cañada. I said, hey, I want to pull a permit. I want to do some work on the place. She said, yeah, what are you going to do with that warehouse? I said, I don't know. She said, well, what are you going to do with it? I said, I think I'm going to park some of my cars in it. She went, they might let you do that. You might let me park my cars in my warehouse? Oh, joy. This is awesome. Woo! Who do I blow around here? Jesus Christ.
You know, it's so funny. I've got a piece of property in Glendale, and I wrote to the tenant who owes me a fortune. Why don't you, I said, this is what you owe me. You know, I want to work something out. Why am I funding you here? You've got a business, blah, blah. You want to give me part of your business and then we'll call it even, or what do you want to do? Next thing you know, he has somebody write me that they're going to do an expose on the fact that I'm trying to raise his rent. I said, what do you mean trying to raise his rent? And what expose? Who gives a shit about you, about some guy who owes me tens of thousands of dollars because I've been basically supporting him for God knows how long. Then the next thing I know, I'm getting an email from somebody at the city of Glendale that's telling me that there's a rent moratorium. I said, I know there's a rent moratorium, but that's for April, May, and June. That's not for going back number of years. What do you just get kind of a clean slate on the rent, paying your rent? It's just this magic thing. I said, that's fine. Would you also do a moratorium on the mortgage so I never have to pay the mortgage again? I mean, This is a wonderful. I have a client who was just talking about this. The guy is brilliant because he says it's as if the government has decided they're going to pick who are the winners and the losers. Well, right. That's fine. He says, if you're going to pick who are the winners and the losers, just be upfront about it. Don't tell me, okay, tenants don't have to pay, but landlords still do. Okay, well, then who's the winner there? Who are you picking? You're picking the tenants. That's fine, but who's going to pay the mortgage on the building?
Well, I want to.
There's no explanation for that.
No, look, I said it on Tucker Carlson a few months ago. It got more traction than just about anything I've ever done, which is the city of L.A. has divided the entire populace into people with checking accounts who pay their taxes in empty bags. And if you have a checking account and you pay your taxes and you're a good little citizen, then you get a target on your back. Because they're going to see if they can wring you like a fucking bar rag and see if they can get everything out of you. If you're fucking empty bag, if you don't pay rent, if you're homeless, if you're selling hot dogs on the steps of the Staples Center, empty bag, keep driving.
I've got it right now. We get an order yesterday out of nowhere that no more in dining. So the brick and mortar location, I can't serve food. 10 feet away from the front door, maybe 15 feet away from the front door, the city has created a bike lane and a little kind of a, for lack of a better term, a loading zone. There's not one, but two. There's a hot dog truck and there's other kind of a catering truck. They're both parked there all day long now. They've set up tables. They're in the middle of 7th Street. They can serve food. I am sitting here as a taxpayer with a brick and mortar location. I am banned now. I got to lock my doors. You can't do it. But the guys on the street who just take it over the street can do whatever the hell they want. Isn't that wonderful? Try to collect from me. Try just come and try and collect. There's at a certain point, there needs to be, I've got a couple of choices. I can either band together with all of the downtown business owners, and we could just sue for under eminent domain because it's basically inverse condemnation. Or I could just shut it down, say we're not paying, go away, and I'll go somewhere else. I'll move somewhere else. I mean, that's really the two alternatives because it's insane. We're living in an insane situation where it's okay to why would I pay rent? I can take 2 months rent. Buy a truck and I'll just park a truck in the same spot in front of the building. Tell the guy, go collect rent from somebody else. Does it make any sense to you?
I don't know. You know, the one thing that always comes up when I talk to Tucker is he goes, why are you paying taxes? Like, I don't get why you're paying taxes. And it's like, it's starting to get to that point where you're like, yeah, why am I paying taxes? Not getting anything in return. I'm going to tease our last story just on the same note. I think West Hollywood had just come out with you have to wear the mask or it's a $300 fine. Now we're getting Now the rubber's meeting the road. It's $300. You're walking around without a mask on. And I want to talk about your thoughts on that. First, I'll tell you about Oracle and NetSuite. America's ready to get back to work. Well, aren't we all? But who's going to win the new economy? You need every advantage. Smart companies run on NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud-based business system. With NetSuite, you have visibility, control over financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more all in one place. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions, it's all going to get better. And it's all going to go up with NetSuite. They give you the visibility to control and manage every penny. Join the 20,000 plus companies who trust NetSuite. Right, Gary?
That's right. NetSuite surveyed hundreds of business leaders and assembled a playbook for the top strategies they're using as America reopens for business. Receive your free guide, 7 Actions Businesses Need to Take Now, and schedule your free product tour at netsuite.com/doubt. Get your free guide and your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/doubt. That's netsuite.com/doubt.
So what do you think?
This is what I don't understand. Because I read a lot about this. I've been trying to understand it. I'm involved in probably 20 lawsuits, 10 of which with Harmeet Dillon, our friend, trying to get some kind of rational response anywhere from anyone. This is what I don't understand. Number one, this executive order that keeps getting turned on and turned off by the governor. There's never been anything. It's completely unprecedented. And if you take a look at the law, clearly it's unprecedented. And every time they say we're following with the science, so I read the science. Well, this is what ends up happening. Take a look at the latest filings that I've seen are that, yes, the rate of the infections are up. There's infections are skyrocketing. Is that surprising? Of course not. Guess what the demographic is? The demographic is amongst 18 to 49. That is the demographic where the virus is expanding exponentially. Does that have something to do with do you think that's because restaurants were open for a week or two? Or do you think that that was because there were a lot of protests? I believe that it was because there were a lot of protests.
Well, the LA, it could be the beach. A lot of those people started laying down on the beach, Mark. I don't know if you saw those
on the beach.
Rebels out on a towel.
Yesterday, if you read the order, Don't believe me. Read what the order says. The order says we have to shut down bars. We have to shut down restaurants because the viral load indoors, if you're sitting at a table, that they've got new data that shows that you can get it. And therefore, they're saying you've got to go outside. Okay, I'll accept that. By the way, they put down in a footnote, this is yet to be peer-reviewed in a scientific journal. Okay, I'll accept it. We're trying to do our best. Hasn't been peer-reviewed. We already know that several peer-reviewed articles have had to be retracted. So we won't even go there. But we go outside and it seems to be better. But so at the same time we do that, we say you can't go outside to go to the beach. So I don't understand. Where is the data that supports going to the beach is a problem, whereas we've got data that's not peer-reviewed that being inside is a problem. None of that makes sense. Then buried in this so-called science is the infections are rising, but the death rate is coming down.
Right.
Well, wait a second here. If the death rate is coming down, then they put in there, but just stay tuned. Wait and see what happens. The death rate is coming down, but that's not going to last long. Well, how do we know that? You can see into the future. If you can see into the future, why didn't we just shut down everything for 2 weeks? Because if that solves the problem, just why didn't you declare that nobody could go outside for 2 weeks and therefore you couldn't get infected because the virus couldn't travel? You shut down the borders. That would have been the end of that. Instead, we've tried to it reminds me of the Dean Smith Four Corners offense. The approach to the virus has been basically just run out the clock.
Yeah.
There's no other explanation for it. It's just run out the clock, turn it on, turn it off. I was saying yesterday, at least I've got some ability to, when my restaurants or hotels are shut down, I've got a law firm. When the law firm is shut down, I've got something else. But what happens with people who don't have that? What happens with people who can't afford to have an accountant or a lawyer figure out PPP? What happens if they don't have somebody who can figure out how to stay afloat or have some other bit? How do they think you can just shut down or turn on or turn off restaurants, which, by the way, the hospitality industry supports California in a percentage that is outsized to come to somebody else. And you just think you can turn this on, turn this off with this kind of crazy, non-rational basis. If you put one of these people on the stand and let me or some other lawyer ask them questions for 45 minutes, you would rapidly see how absurd all of this is. There isn't any rationality to any of this. None of this makes sense. The mask. I love the mask idea. Wear your mask. If you go outside, you don't wear your mask. Well, if you listen to what they say, wear the mask if you're interacting with somebody and you can't socially distance. Somehow that's now been transmogrified into you've got to wear the mask at all times. Even if there's somebody not within 100 yards of you, you've got to wear the mask. I don't understand. What are we talking about?
Well, Santa Monica and Beverly Hills are now joining with the fines as well. All right, Garrigus, we're up against it, so we'll get into more of this. We're both, we should just call it the Righteous Indignation Hour with Mark and Adam every Saturday. All right, plugs, Gary, please. I will tell you guys to go to adamcarolla.com if you want to find out about live shows. Don't worry about it, Gary. Gary's running now. You can go get my book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available. Listen to the audiobook. I do a lot of rambling and ranting on that as well. And Dallas, I'm playing in July. Addison, Tempe's got switched to September. Just go to amcarolla.com if you want to find out anything. What do you got, Mark?
I got, well, at least in New York, the Capri is open. Naya is open, the pop-up restaurant there. The V Palm Springs, as we're filming this or recording this, is open. Who knows if it's going to be open tomorrow? They may decide that no, heat doesn't do anything to it. And by the way, Tenney is now closed except for takeout. So just come down and patronize the hot dog vendor who's out front and Engine Company 28. I'm going to take over Figueroa Avenue sometime this weekend. I'm going to just put up cement dividers, and I'm going to take the street. What the heck? So stay tuned.
And
that.
Say hi to Dr. Alien. And until next time, Sam Crow for Mark Garrigus saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.